So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This program is paid for by Advocacy United. All opinions or statements expressed on this program are solely those of Advocacy United or its guests and do not reflect the views of WPHT or Odyssey. Today's program is pre-recorded.
Consider a career with the International Brotherhood of Boilermakers. As a Boilermaker apprentice, you'll earn while you learn. We offer excellent wages and benefits. And as part of our no-cost, hands-on apprenticeship program, you'll learn from the best in state-of-the-art training centers and on the job. Become a union Boilermaker and get on your way to a great career.
Visit Boilermakers.org or call 844-IBB-WELD.
And guess where this additional billion gallons of biofuel is going to come from? It's going to come from abroad. That's not an American First energy policy. We're in this together. Labor's in this. Building trades are in this. Refiners are in this. American consumers need us to do this too.
Now across the Jacob Media Network, welcome to the Labor and Energy Show special, exclusively presented by the PBF Energy Paulsboro Refinery and the PBF Delaware City Refinery, in collaboration with the labor unions that build our communities.
If you fix this RINs issue, you're looking at a reduction of 25 to 30 cents a gallon.
This is the Labor and Energy Show, bringing labor leaders, national experts, and political influencers together to educate you about fancy terms like RINs and RGGI, while explaining the truth about energy independence. Welcome to the Labor and Energy Show with J-Doc and Krause.
Hi, welcome to the Labor and Energy Show on the Jacob Media Network. We've got a fantastic broadcast, lots to talk about, and certainly... With the weekly show, we try to educate the public, we try to educate our policymakers, our union members and leadership across the country, and we featured a who's who in labor and energy on the broadcast. This week's no exception. This week is a special broadcast. We're going to be talking for the majority of the show about the Shale Insight Conference. Marcellus Shale Coalition presents an amazing conference. And this year we're doing it in Erie, Pennsylvania. And our guests on our broadcast, Dave Callahan, president of Marcellus Shale Coalition, also a board member of our Energy Education and Awareness Initiative. Dave, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, J-Doc. It's great to be with you today.
It's great to have you. And John Bain, who's also no stranger to the broadcast, director of government affairs, EQT Corporation, also the chair of the executive board for the Marcellus Shale Coalition. John, how are you?
Everything's going well. I appreciate having us on again.
It's great to have you. And first of all, and I'll kind of go back and forth. Dave, if you would, to our listeners, okay, what is the Shale Insight Conference?
Sure. Thanks again. The Shale Insight Conference is our annual conference that the Marcellus Shale Coalition holds. We're in our 13th year. We've traveled around the state to various locations, several years in Philadelphia, several years in Pittsburgh, and now for the past two, going on our third year now up in Erie. It's a gathering of energy leaders, energy industry participants, labor, government, and more. It's where everybody all comes together to talk about not only the current state of affairs in the industry, but what the future looks like. Over those 13 years, we've averaged around 1,100 people per year. Obviously, during and after the COVID years, things have dropped a little bit, but we're bouncing back in a nice way. We're going to get back to those numbers, hopefully, this year. We've got a fully subscribed exhibit hall where you can see all sorts of new technology, products and services that are really propelling the industry forward. And of course, there's lots of sessions for plenary sessions, main stage sessions, and technical breakouts as well. It's a place that if you want to know what's going on in the industry and what the future is going to look like, that you'll want to attend.
And having said that, John, what excites you about this year's conference?
I think this year, and we've been seeing it slowly over the past several years, but now it seems to be ramping up a lot more, would be that basically the direction we're going with unconventional natural gas production and energy as a whole from a 30,000 foot view. You know, people always said that energy transitions over 100 years. So we went from wood, went to coal. Now we're with gas. And now we're seeing new and exciting things such as hydrogen. So I think, you know, it will be a topic of conversation at the conference. Also looking at things such as carbon capture, which will go along with hydrogen production. So we're really moving into a new space within the industry. And I think it's exciting. And I think we're going to see a lot of new faces this year because of that.
And so I'm looking at the itinerary, okay, and it's a three-day conference, Tuesday, September 26th, 27th, and 28th, and man, it's action-packed. I mean, this is an intense itinerary, incredibly impressive. I'd like to ask you both, and Dave, I'll start with you, what is your role in the conference as the president of the Marcellus Shale Coalition? And when I say that, I'm talking about from an organizing premise to a, you know, to the actual operations when it's going on.
Sure. There's everything from soup to nuts. You know, we were talking about football ahead of time, so I'm going to use a football analogy. There's a lot of blocking and tackling that goes on before the conference actually takes place. Securing sponsorships, securing speakers, making sure the venue is set up, you know, all the blocking and tackling. But day of, it is just, it worked for those 2.5 days. It's a whirlwind of activity. We try to give our conference attendees the best experience possible, whether it's ensuring that they've got sufficient time for breaks, sufficient time in the exhibit hall, making sure that things flow smoothly on the stage, making sure things flow smoothly as well in those technical breakouts. We try to offer something for everyone and something for all of our attendees. It's something that literally takes 8 to 9 months of planning before we pull it off every year. We'll take a month or so off after it concludes, and we'll start right back at it again.
John, you know, your role in the conference?
Yeah, I mean, Dave and his team, they do all the hard work. I have to give them all the credit. I will be there. I'll offer some remarks during the conference and actively participate in several panels. We have our board meeting and executive board meetings, but at the end of the day, it is Dave Callahan and his team that do a fantastic job pulling it all together. And you'll see it firsthand, Joe. It's amazing.
Well, when we're there, I'm going to come up to you, and I'm really looking forward to going and say, I'll say great job, and you can say to me, wish I had some help. You know, I can stop doing it all myself. I look at the itinerary, and it's absolutely incredible. Let's talk about, you know, you have a nice group of sponsors, okay, that that really obviously are committed to what's going on. I'd like to kind of pay them some kudos, if you would, Dave. Who talk about the sponsors who make it happen.
Sure. We've got sponsors from companies like John's Company, EQT, CNX, Chesapeake, Range Resources, Equitrans, and many, many more. Olympus Energy. There are our sponsors from inside of the Commonwealth, outside of the Commonwealth. We even have companies that don't even operate in Pennsylvania, from Ohio and West Virginia, who are sponsoring. And what does that sponsorship do? That allows us to put good programming together on the main stage and in the breakout sessions. What you're going to see when you attend their JDOC is you're going to hear from a number of leaders from the leading companies, not just in this basin, the Appalachian Basin, but nationwide. So you'll hear from a couple CEOs, you'll hear from chief operating officers and more. And as John said, it's not necessarily about here's what we're doing. Of course, we're grounded in what we're doing right now. You know, I've had a sneak peek at some of the themes of what some of the folks are going to be talking about on the main stage. They're going to be talking about what the future holds. They're going to be talking not just about product services, but about how each and every day this industry evolves. Each and every day, things are getting more and more sustainable, more efficient, and it's just astounding to see how things have changed and will continue to change into the future.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, it is amazing when you look at the we're going to get into the sessions in a little while, but you have a very, I mean, there's a lot, carbon capture, a lot of topics that are really focused on lowering emissions and new technology. When you're putting the itinerary together, when you're talking about the actual topics, because this is where, in a sense, the rubber meets the road, because, you know, you're talking about the future of energy, okay? And Marcella Schell, you know, there's so many resources there. I mean, it's you know, incredible. Who decides the actual, when you talk about the topics and the sessions themselves? Because in a sense, you can look at that. That's like a roadmap, the future of energy right there. Talk about that, John, if Dave, if you will, in regards to putting those topics and those sessions together.
Yeah, I'll let Dave get into the more of the details, but I think we've evolved to the point where this is the premier energy conference for our industry, and a lot of it is people reaching out to us. And I'll kick it over to Dave from there to get into some more details.
Well, it's truly a collaborative process. It is thinking about what are the themes that could be explored, exploring those themes with the various speakers and sponsors. But it's also about who do we want to see on the stage? You know, who do we think that the conference attendees want to hear from, regardless of what they talk about? And I will say this, it took me a while to get to this. We have some strong union voices on that stage, both on the main stage and in the breakouts as well. We've got Jeff Nobers from the Builders Guild in Pittsburgh Works Today. We've got David Butterworth from Pipeliners 798 coming up to talk as well about infrastructure. That voice, that strong union voice, is such an integral part of not just what we do as an industry every single day, with some of our advocacy efforts, as well as our you know, the efforts out in the field to build and operate the infrastructure. But it's important for people to see that on display, that partnership at the conference. And that's why it took me a while to get to this as well, why I'm particularly proud that you're going to be there, that you're going to be there with Krause, and you're going to see it firsthand. And you're going to be able to talk to people from all sorts of facets of the industry and hopefully gather good information, good content to help feed for future broadcasts and podcasts.
Well, I'll tell you, and I first of all want to thank you, Dave, and John for making it possible. One of the things that, you know, as part of our board, our Energy Education Awareness Initiative, taking our media platform, educating, you know, the listeners and, of course, our policy, but also really we talk about, you know, presenting individuals that are at the forefront, showing the faces of the places, okay? The general public never gets to hear that stuff, and therefore the narrative is always slanted. I know, because that was me, two, 3 years ago. And so it was a lot of our labor people in the energy sector, you know, boiler makers, steam fitters, out there. When the PES refinery went down in Philly and it was so confusing, that got us involved. And one of the things, so we're excited as heck about it, to meet the leadership, to meet the members of the coalition, and really to be educated at the session. Okay, but you know, one of the things we want to do is make aware a platform that we all have. This is this is a platform that we created, and our board of directors is represented by labor and energy. We're getting more energy as you see on a daily basis. You talk about a balanced board, but we just want people to understand in the industry that we have a platform. I think we're a credible voice, and it does not take. And the reason I say that we talk about the voice. It doesn't take much to educate somebody in common sense, a regular person, okay, that in the details and the common sense in energy. We have so many important topics that are out there, okay? Our natural gas industry, largely responsible for the lowering of emissions, if not completely responsible, for the great work we've done in the United States of America in lowering emissions. We've talked about the PAGE Coalition and, little teeny things like, some of our foreign friends took them 1 year to destroy all the progress we've made in decades. And so we also want everybody to know, there are resources available. I want to thank you, Dave and John, for making it happen and for giving us that opportunity to be out there. I was lobbying a little bit to get it. Now I can't wait to get to Erie, but I lobbied a little bit to get it to Roxburgh in Philadelphia here. Thanks so much for the invitation and the platform. By the way, your team is absolutely incredible. I mean, I have been a part of conferences before. I took part in the conference in Philadelphia from the ground, and I know what kind of absolute, how many layers and layers and layers of, responsibilities it takes to put this conference in. And I shout out to your team because they're doing a great job.
They're the very best. You're gonna see many union representatives there. We have a number of construction trade unions, as whether it's the operating engineers, who are also sponsoring the boiler makers, the pipe trades, and more. And as I said, Pipeliner 798, you'll be able to pluck those people out of the crowd, pull them over, record a few comments, and share it with your listeners down the road. I'm really excited for your presence there. I think it just seemed like a natural fit, again, to show how we are so aligned on these issues and how if we work together, as we continue to work together, we present such a strong unified front for common sense energy policies.
Absolutely.
To steal a page from John Boehner's book, to unleash what we have here in Appalachia. And not only serve our own needs, but also serve the needs worldwide.
You know what I find amazing? I've had this conversation. So I was doing a broadcast recently, and it was one of our legal broadcasts in Delaware County, and we were having a conversation about labor and energy on the broadcast. And what I find absolutely refreshing is that. I literally, and I wonder where the narrative comes from, because, this guy's obviously a big Dem, okay? His name's George Beatty, okay? And we go way back. But, the conversation, and it's, when I'm talking about a lot of the issues, okay, very amicable. In other words, You know, as soon as I left that broadcast, I'm like, we got to get this guy on the Labor and Energy Show, because we had, you know, the lack of adversarial conversations that I've had with members of, you know, our community down here, individuals who you would think might be against, you know, what people are trying to get, you know, common sense and energy. I can honestly say it has been fantastic. And I think a lot of that may have to do with, you know, a lot of these people who you could, you know, you could show them the Holy Grail and they don't care about it. We're talking about individuals that just aren't totally in tune with everything. And, you know, they understand, you know, the details. They understand, they understand the principles, but not the details. And so I think there's a great opportunity. What I love to see, Dave, I saw your op-ed with Rob Bear, okay? And I love to see what's going on with, you know, with that collaboration, okay? That, in a sense, partnership, that relationship, you know, kind of taking off, because that's really what it's about. Utilizing, you know, both the resources of both to educate and utilize our, you know, listen, I call it influencing the influencers, okay? We, you know, in labor, we have a lot of manpower. We have a lot of resources. Obviously, energy has a lot of resources. Together, I think it's a great marriage. And I think that it's a common thing that you and I completely agree on, is that, you know, first of all, even on the show, I don't allow a lot of rhetoric on the show. We've had some individuals, as soon as they start getting into, you know, really extreme stuff, everybody gets shut down, right? I mean, whoever's listening automatically thinks it's crazy. And so I think we've done a good job, but we're just at the tip of the iceberg. And Marcella Schell is such an important you know, part of what's going on. We now have, and I think I know you saw Chet Thompson, American petrochemical manufacturers. I mean, they're dealing with the issue of the electrical vehicles mandates. Okay, one of the things, and that's a great example, and in what we're doing, Dave, and a lot of the issues that we're tackling, people have zero idea of what these mandates can cause and the domino effect, how it affects jobs, the future, and all those things. So I think, you know, our goal is to educate. We want to meet a lot of your members and learn from them. And I literally can't wait till the conference. I've never been to Erie, and we're going to get up early and take that trek to Erie, PA, and we're really looking forward to it. We have a couple minutes left in this segment. I think let me just take a quick look. We have about a minute. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. We'll have more from the Labor and Energy Show with Dave Callahan and John Bain in just a minute.
What's a Boilermaker? We're the skilled welders, riggers, and craftspeople who will help you grow your competitive edge. We step up when others step back, and we do the job right, on time, on budget, and safely. No drama, just results, every time. We're the International Brotherhood of Boilermakers, and everything we do begins with our bond. Let's get to work together. Visit bestintrade.com.
PBF Energy wants you to know hidden RIN costs are adding almost 30 cents to every gallon at the pump and pushing independent American refineries to the brink. It doesn't have to be this way. President Biden can lower gas prices and protect thousands of union refinery jobs by fixing the renewable fuel standard. And he should. Visit FuelingUSJobs.com/takeaction to urge President Biden to stop the RIN sanity and fix the renewable fuel standard today.
Operating engineers are the men and women that move mountains. And the Engineers Labor Employer Cooperative, ELEC, puts them to work. They create opportunities for the men, women, and union signatory contractors of Local 825, repaving our roads, keeping our homes bright and warm, and even building our favorite team stadium. We understand infrastructure. That's why ELEC and Local 825 are ready to get to work.
Buying a car is a big decision. Makes, models, colors, cost. But soon enough, the government is going to make that decision for you. Delaware and New Jersey are on a collision course to ban the sale of new gas-powered cars. In 2035, you'll have no choice but to buy an electric vehicle in those states. Tell Governor Carney and Governor Murphy to stop the EV mandate and let drivers decide.
The Eastern Atlantic States Regional Council of Carpenters is proud to present skilled union workers, including the workers that build and maintain our energy infrastructure. The safest, best trained, and most productive carpenters in the country are on the job. Whether it's energy from nuclear, wind, coal, natural gas, or offshore wind, the EAS carpenters are ready to provide the construction need of an energy industry our families depend on. If you're interested in a job in construction, visit EASCarpenters.org or follow us on social at EAS Carpenters.
This program is paid for by Advocacy United. Today's program is pre-recorded.
Portions of tonight's Labor and Energy Special are being supported by the members of the labor union community, including Steamfitters Local 420, Jim Snell, Business Manager, the Eastern Atlantic States Regional Council of Carpenters,
and the United Steelworkers.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Labor and Energy Show here on the Jacob Media Network. We've got a great broadcast. Ecstatic to have Dave Callahan, President, Marcel Shell Coalition, John Bain, Director of Government Affairs, EQT Corporation, talking about the Shell Insight Conference that's coming up on the 26th, 27th, and 28th of the month. We're all incredibly excited. So much going on. Let's talk a little bit about the sessions. And the topics themselves, I mean, because, you know, they give you an idea of where this, you know, where the industry's going. John, you had said that, you know, I mean, this is a massive conference. It's a primary conference in the industry now. And you had mentioned hydrogen. One of the sessions is hydrogen and carbon capture, keep on rolling, what the latest developments mean for the natural gas industry. John, touch on that a little bit and how important that session is and give us a little insight on it.
Sure. And I think it goes back to what I mentioned previously, that we are, you know, changing as an industry, and a big part of it will be using hydrogen as a feedstock for manufacturing, for power generation. And I think, you know, a lot of people don't understand what that means, because I certainly didn't when I heard it initially years ago, but now we're talking about it all the time. And blue hydrogen is basically produced when you have natural gas and you take the carbon from the natural gas and you have hydrogen. And that can be used as a feedstock, as I said, for manufacturing, for power generation. The carbon then can be captured and injected underground. And that's something that we're working on in several states, including Pennsylvania. We have had regulations passed in West Virginia. So that's another thing. Right? From a legislative standpoint, we are going to have to change some regulations in order for that to be a possibility.
Dave, if you would, jump in.
Yeah, and that's an area. John, great description, first of all. But that's an area where, you know, we're dealing with the policy needs, as John has already pointed out, the legal, the policy, the regulatory needs, what the framework needs to look like to allow it to happen. But there's also the technology. You know, the technology is changing day by day, week by week, month by month, about getting more efficient, making things more sustainable when it comes to processing hydrogen, creating it, and dealing with the carbon, and not just injecting it, possibly using it in other forms. It's an example of something that'll be explored in great depth during like a 75-minute, and it sounds intimidating, but a 75-minute session, when you're talking about a project like that and a topic like that, might not be nearly enough. That's something that could fill its own conference, but it's just one of the many examples. If I could, I'd like to talk about one other thing that when we were talking about common sense policy from a policy standpoint. You know, John and I, it's been great working with John as the chairman. He's been a great boss, a great leader for the organization. And I think he and I are 100% aligned, as I think the three of us are 100% aligned, where energy independence, energy reliability, energy sustainability, making sure there's good jobs to support that. It's not an R or D issue. It's right down the middle, strictly right down the middle. And so we're proud that we've got folks from both sides of the political aisle that will be offering comments. West Virginia Senator or U.S. Senator from West Virginia, Joe Manchin, Pennsylvania Congressman Guy Reschenthaler. And we've just secured some comments from the United States Assistant Secretary of State for Energy, who will be talking about things like LNG and what U.S. energy strength means for the rest of the world. It's balance. That's what we're looking for. We're not picking one side over the other. This is something that applies to Americans in their kitchen table discussions. And we want to present that at Shale Insight as well.
Absolutely. And I always say, and I end a lot of our shows by saying it's not a union issue, shouldn't be a political issue, it's a human issue, okay? And, so it's well said, and certainly one of the things that I, want to bring labor to the table is to utilize, first of all, to be educated, okay, number one. Okay, number two, but at the same time, a lot of our energy sector labor leaders, as you said, are very educated on these issues. A lot of the workforce is working the plants, they work in the refineries, they work at all these places. But it's the entire labor community. And I think, what's interesting, everybody knows. When you get that sense when you talk to everybody, very rarely get anybody who, even when it comes to labor, who doesn't have a good idea that whatever's going on right now, that can't last. We have to come up with these solutions that we are. And so that's been a great gift. That's been a great learning and experience for us. It's been great to get the cooperation. The next session, renewable natural gas, decarbonization for a blended energy future. What is renewable natural gas? And of course, the decarbonization for a blended energy future. Dave?
Sure, that's another breakout session that'll go into great detail. Renewable natural gas, or RNG, methane derives from the decomposition. This isn't a science experiment, but allow me, please. Methane results from the decomposition of organic material, whether it's organic material that was deposited far underground 400 million years ago, like the Marcellus and Utica shales, or dairy waste, farm waste, food waste. Some of that stuff can be turned into methane. It certainly happens at landfills as well. That's been generally referred to as renewable natural gas. It's sort of the same components, and some of the companies involved in the organization are trying to tap into that to help supplement. Now, is it going to support every home in Pennsylvania, every business? No, its reach is very, very limited, but it's about making good use of what's there, and it's about making good use of what technology is out there to get that product to market. And JDOF, we see the same thing in another energy source. That's called geothermal. The same companies who have figured out the technology to go a mile, 2 miles underground, 3, 4, 5 miles out laterally, to tap vast resources of gas in the Marcellus Shale, Utica Shale formations, they could utilize some of that same technology, some of that same know-how to drill down and tap into geothermal energy as well. Just another example of how this industry is so broad in scope and how it really has its eyes on the future.
It's interesting. You mentioned, a science project. How closely, John, does your company work with the scientists on new technology? Because one of the things that we've learned in our trek is that energy can be a complicated language, okay? And translating that and on the broadcast, one of the things we try to do is learn as much as we can. And there's a good example right there about something that might be complicated and in a sense translate it to our neighbors. You talk about that kitchen table conversation that we're all having. If there's one person at that kitchen, by the way, I was that person at the kitchen table about a month ago with my two cousins. We were talking about the Phillies when Trey Turner was still in his slump. We were at a restaurant And I walked in and I said, well, I'm just preparing for my labor and energy show. We talked, they were looking at me like a little sideways, but by the end of that conversation, we're like, well, how about that? They were first surprised that I knew, right? And that I had that information. But, you know, talk about that conversation with the scientist and working close with scientists to create these new technologies that will take us into the future, John.
Well, let's start with this. I don't work closely with the scientists, but we have very smart people on our team.
Sure.
Our executive vice president for new ventures is going to be speaking at the conference, and he's going to talk about some of the things that we are doing and the organizations that we're partnering with. An example is the Appalachian Regional Clean Hydrogen Hub, which is an application we put in with the Department of Energy to fund hydrogen projects. But we're working with the Gas Technology Institute. We're working with a company called Battelle and others. And that's where this technology really, they're the folks that drill down and get involved with, you know, the scientific community. And also universities are very helpful. Academia is critical to what we all do. So you'll hear from our executive vice president. I think he's going to get into that a little bit at the conference. But yeah, there are some very, very smart people that reach a lot of different factions of this industry. And again, at Shale Insight, I'm sure we'll have some of those individuals, and hopefully you'll get to pull them in and have a few conversations.
If I can, you might hear from some academics there. One of the facets of the conference is that we have a university research showcase where for the last several years, we highlight research that's being done by students and faculty that's of great interest and assistance to the industry. So we're going to be featuring 8 different researchers, their projects. We're going to welcome them on the main stage, but more so, they'll be in the exhibit hall with some of their materials, with some of their posters showing what they've done, the research they've done, the practical application, and folks going through that exhibit hall will be able to hear from them firsthand what they're doing, what their interests are. And, you know, while that's good for us, that's good for them, it's our hope that it also spurs more people who are looking into pursuing a degree to look into pursuing a degree that's a part of our industry. Just like for you, J-Doc, and for the folks and our friends in the construction trades, we want to ensure that next generation of workers are there. So whether it's a scientist, whether it's a boiler maker, a steam fitter, a pipe fitter, an engineer, we want to make sure that the next generation and the generation after that know that this energy source is going to be around for a long time. It's going to continue to evolve, but there's good family-sustaining, community-sustaining jobs and opportunities from all walks of life available.
One of the things, and I'm so happy about this conversation that we're having, because we're going from New Jersey to Washington, D.C., across to Pittsburgh and up into West Virginia and Ohio, is that taking that chain of they talk about scientists, you talk about the individuals at your companies who are, you know, you're delivering the message, and of course labor, and because everybody, you know, this is a complicated industry and process, and there are so many new technologies that are coming forward that it takes a teamwork and dealing. The words work together is such an, that's been such a big part of John Bland. And I know John Bain, do you know John Bland?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. And Dave, I know you know him also. He said something to me one time, and I think this applies to what we're talking about now. And I wish all the listeners would understand this. The more I learn from the talented people like yourself and individuals that represent the energy community, the more I feel like I'm in the twilight zone when I think about what John Bland said is, why aren't we all working together? Normally we would be working together, but for some reason the narrative has gotten shifted. I look at one of the topics we're going to talk about is carbon capture. Okay. One of the things you're going to talk at one of the sessions. Okay. And work John Bland said to me one time when it was PES, when we had that situation in Philly, and he said, when do we stop working together? It's clear that what our energy community prioritizes is, you know, not only, you know, providing great power sources, but also within a low carbon future. OK, and lowering emissions and all those things. OK, it's a and believe me, I came into this thing, you know, with my eyes open, seeing what's going on. It's when I look at the itinerary for this conference, it's a large portion of what's going on. OK, and, you know, blazing the trails into a low carbon future, and at the same time, being able to use some of the greatest resources in the world, on the planet Earth, at Marcellus Shale. So it certainly is, you know, refreshing. And I want the listeners to understand that, you know, we should all be working together for these common sense solutions. Let's talk a little bit about carbon capture and that session, okay? One of the sessions called Carbon Capture and Underground Storage, Injectivity and Containment Testing. Dave, if you would touch on that.
Again, I think when we talked about another session that was somewhat related to this in hydrogen development, hydrogen production, and carbon capture, we recognized that there was some policy issues in technology. This seems to be purely focused on the technology. You know, a lot of it deals with geology. You're going to hear people that, that understand the geological requirements for carbon capture. But there's also, you know, whether they get into it or not, there's also the practical implications of how do we get pipelines developed? How do we get the right people to work on those pipelines? What are the requirements for those pipelines? Is CO2 a different product to ship compared to natural gas, compared to oil, compared to anything else that we ship via pipeline right now? There are many technical considerations, and there are some of the best and the brightest of minds working on that right now from across the sector and across the country. And so this is just another one of those opportunities to dig deep into those issues.
And having said that, okay, because people are going to be hearing a lot more about carbon capture as the months go on and the years go on, it's a technology that's being developed. You mentioned pipelines, okay? And one of the things, and this is a little off, you know, but not really, permitting reform, okay? Sometimes it takes almost a decade to get a project underway, and millions and millions and millions of dollars. We talked about, you know, permitting reform on previous broadcasts, but John, if you would, let's start that conversation.
Yes, thank you. And I'll start with this. In 2022, we saw the lowest pipeline build out since 1995. We built 3% of the pipelines that we were building in 2017. Again, that's a major problem, and it does come down to the issues of permitting. If I asked you to invest in a $1 billion project and then told you it was going to take 10 years, would you want to invest in that? I mean, I don't think you would. And we have decision makers in Washington that can help solve this problem. They've taken some smaller steps so far. But it, again, it comes down to working together, because it's not just our industry of natural gas production, it's energy as a whole. When as we build out solar and wind and other forms of energy, you need transmission lines. They have the same issues that we do when it comes to permitting to get new transmission lines. The same pertains to broadband, which, you know, should be a little more important for me because I'm having some technical difficulties, as you can hear in the background. But It's going to take investment, and the carbon capture piece of it is huge. But again, we talk to individuals who want to help the environment, they want to lower emissions. And as soon as we say pipeline, they don't want to support any effort that would create a new pipeline, no matter what the positive benefit of a pipeline would be. So we face the issue of, one, it takes a long time to go through the environmental standard applications, which we don't want to skimp on that, don't get me wrong. We want to do the extensive permit applications. We just want them reviewed in a timely manner by one agency instead of having a government agency go over the same application, you know, three or four different times. The other problem we have is litigation. every time there's a permit approved on a controversial project, it is challenged in court by organizations that do not want our industry to succeed. And that is a major problem as well. And hopefully in Washington, they'll be able to figure out a way to fix the permitting issues responsibly, but allow people to do business. We shouldn't be talking about the lowest pipeline build out in the country since in the year 2022, when we have issues where we need to get gas on the water, ship it overseas to help our friends in Europe. Russia took 10 BCF a day of natural gas off the market, which cost Europeans $800 billion. When you look at those numbers, they're staggering. And it all comes down to if we have the political will to do permitting reform, to put pipelines in the ground, to build LNG facilities, we are the solution, and we can provide energy security, not just for the United States, but for the entire world.
You know, over the summer, you know, in a bipartisan agreement, Congress and the president agreed on a debt ceiling deal that included permitting reform provisions. How's that impacting, you know, what's going on? We've had recently, and we have a new board member, Peter Holrand of Enbridge, and, you know, they're still having issues. Talk about that, if you would, Dave.
Sure. First and foremost, I think I've said it on this program before, it shouldn't have to take an act of Congress to get a much-needed pipeline approved. It shouldn't take that, plus all the delays, all the challenges, for something that investors put the money behind. There is clearly a need for that product to be shipped. John did a great job of discussing and sharing, you know, how pipeline projects have really, really dropped off precipitously. We need more capacity to get more product where it's needed, certainly overseas, definitely to areas of the country, you've heard me say it before, like New England, where New England is energy starved to the point where, I'm going to keep saying it, where at one point there was a tanker loaded with Russian gas in Boston Harbor ready to supply the region. We need that infrastructure. Those are not just good jobs. Those are sound environmental investments as well, because we've seen how increased use of natural gas has led to much lower CO2 emissions, in particular from the power generation sector. And it's also led to cleaner air in general. We've got the facts to back that up. We've got the information to back that up. It's a great investment. It's a great resource. But infrastructure is the key to unlocking it.
What's interesting, because I believe there's a 4.5 year environmental process. Okay. When you're talking about permitting, we talked to Pete Horan and the Line 5 replacement project. Okay. They're trying to upgrade the current, the current line. Okay. That's going to improve safety and all those things. And the reservations that the project goes through have put a major roadblock in what's going on. So the narrative is what it is. What can we do, labor and energy and the general public? What can we do? In a sense, this is a big part of common sense and energy. But what can we do to help improve that process?
John, feel free to back me up. I'm going to go really short here. But what we could do is continuing to advocate at both the federal and the state level for permit reform, for regulatory clarity. And also, when there are local decisions, statewide decisions on individual permits, to weigh in on those permits together to show the benefit, to show the need. John.
Yeah, you're spot on, Dave. Joe, it's just a matter of everybody coming to the table, working together. I know I've said it before, but this industry and Marcellus Shale Coalition, we're open for conversations with anyone. But when it comes to permitting, again, we want to do things right. But we want to do things in a manner which allows us to plan our business. Because if we can't do business and plan that business, why are we here, right? And we need that reform in order to thrive as an industry.
Let's do this. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to have more from the Labor and Energy Show in just a minute.
PBF Energy wants you to know hidden RIN costs are adding almost 30 cents to every gallon at the pump and pushing independent American refineries to the brink. It doesn't have to be this way. President Biden can lower gas prices and protect thousands of union refinery jobs by fixing the renewable fuel standard. And he should. Visit FuelingUSJobs.com/takeaction to urge President Biden to stop the RIN sanity and fix the renewable fuel standard today.
The Eastern Atlantic States Regional Council of Carpenters is proud to present skilled union workers, including the workers that build and maintain our energy infrastructure. The safest, best trained, and most productive carpenters in the country are on the job. Whether it's energy from nuclear, wind, coal, natural gas, or offshore wind, the EAS carpenters are ready to provide the construction need of an energy industry our families depend on. If you're interested in a job in construction, visit EASCarpenters.org or follow us on social at EAS Carpenters.
Neuter Integrated Multicraft Contractors has been a force since 1896. That's right, 1896. And specializes in welding, piping, mechanical, structural, constructability reviews, project management, and rigging design services. For a free consultation, call Neuter at 314-421-7600. Neuter proudly serves petroleum refining, chemical processing, power generation, and alternative energy. Get in touch with Neuter at 314-421-7600. Can you afford a brand new electric car or a charging station for your home? Want to spend your days waiting in line at a public charging station? Well, buckle up. Delaware and New Jersey are planning to ban the sale of gas-powered cars by 2035. Most drivers can't afford it, don't need it, and don't want it. Tell Governor Carney and Governor Murphy to stop the EV mandate and let drivers decide. Portions of tonight's Labor and Energy Special are presented by PBF Energy and supported by members of the labor union community, a collaborative to educate the public and change the narrative.
Welcome back to the Labor and Energy Show on the Jacob Media Network. I can't thank Dave Callahan, President Marcellus Shale Coalition, and John Bain, Director of Government Affairs, EQT Corporation, enough for being on the broadcast. Guys, we got about 3 minutes left. I'd like to, and certainly the permanent reform issue. So it's so important for us to be able to get our projects off the ground in a realistic fashion. What you're doing in regards to the future of energy, I was looking at the itinerary for the conference coming up, and we talk about ground zero for the future of energy development. And it's just such a great example. When I look at this itinerary, I look at a roadmap. Closing remarks in regards to the upcoming Insight Conference. Dave, if you will.
Sure. Again, it's a great opportunity to hear from industry leaders, policymakers, labor, those who are also involved in advancing the technology that is changing this industry every single day. And I'm just so glad that you're going to be a part of it. I'm glad that my chairman, John Bain, will be a part of it as well. It never disappoints.
John, if you will.
Yeah, it's going to be a great conference. It always is. And I think, as I said at the start of the show, we're seeing this industry change and evolve. And it's happening quickly and it's happening every day. The members of the coalition and our guests and members of organized labor, I think they're in for a great couple days and a lot of information to absorb at that time. But it's going to be a great conference.
And there's going to be a lot of socializing and networking also, correct? I mean, people meeting people for the first time. I heard Dave Callahan can be seen on the dance floor on occasion. It's just a rumor going.
Well, I reserved a spot for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, I'm a terror on the dance floor. Yeah. Security, please. Having said that, the Insight Shale Convention is September 26th, 27th, 28th in Erie, PA. Dave, if somebody wants more information on it or they want to attend, can are there still possibilities for individuals to attend?
There's certainly time to register. You could take a look at our website, marcelluscoalition.org. You could take a click on there onto Shale Insight. But while you're there, I always put a plug in for all the resources we have there. We've got a ton of good fact-based information, just like you do on this podcast and broadcast. We like to share good, solid information that people can bring back to that kitchen table and have their discussions about energy.
Awesome. I want to thank again Dave Callahan and John Bain for being our guests here. A great job to the entire team. Going to be a very successful Insight Shale convention. We're proud to be a part of it. Certainly, the Energy Education and Awareness Initiative Advocacy United. Shout out to Joe Krause, who's my partner in this entire thing. We can't wait to get there. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the Labor and Energy Show here on the Jacob Media Network. On behalf of Dave Callahan and John Bain and Joe Krause, and a shout out to Kateri Krause for making it happen, our producer in the booth, I'm Joe Dougherty. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to tonight's Labor and Energy Special. You can help. Call your congressperson and join the movement to push back on RINs.
This program is paid for by Advocacy United. All opinions or statements expressed on this program are solely those of Advocacy United or its guests and do not reflect the views of WPHT or Odyssey. Today's program is pre-recorded.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.